Lincoln interviewed a former grenade in 1966. He's never been back since.
Here are some things that he wrote about his experiences.
It never dawned on me that I would ever leave Grenada any time in my life there. Life was so idyllic for me and my younger brother, Kelvin. I would be lying if I said that we didn't wallow in the time we were together there in such an ambient place. Grenada just invited us in and looked after us splendidly. If ever I owe a place one, Grenada was it. My soul, to not label a point, is buried there. I can never love another place like this, because Grenada absorbed all my love forever. But the devil had cast his dice, and I became the victim of kidnapping when I was told by letter that I had to depart the shores of my beloved island, Grenada. I was so stunned that it took me quite a while to get used to the idea. Acceptance was very hard on my psyche, but there was no Hobson's choice. I just had to obey my mother's wish. After having said my goodbyes to the people who were so kind to me, I went down to see my headmaster at secondary school in St. George's. He was kind enough to rubber stamp references for me, and I duly shook his hands, and he wished me bon voyage and the best for the future. But who could have imagined that the future would have turned out to be such a nightmare for me to cope with. But I was on my way, nonetheless, to whatever laid ahead of me. But as I left Mr. Brafford, the headmaster, I descended to the playing field of Tantine. And as I got to the sand pit where I practiced my long jumping, my entire life in Grenada seemed to flash across my eyes. And wow-wow-wee, the tears just welled up in my eyes. And I felt like I was falling down into an abyss of doom. That was so ominous, but I could not read the signs at the time. And I was left to my own devices to cope as well as I could have at the time.
Being wise after an event is always indulged in by us humans, who will always look for some kind of comfort and deceptive consolation. But that, we realize all too often, never ever works, because the futility of it all is so obvious. Yet we indulge in that practice time and time again. Yes, looking back, maybe I could have handled things better than I did at the time. Maybe I could have had letter debates with my mother with the view to gleaning accurate information about what I was to expect on my arrival in England. Searching for the truth can be problematic, but under intense probing, one can extract what really is and what's not. But my young, inexperienced mind was too accepting at the time, and bracing myself, I allowed fate to take its course without any meaningful resistance. So I've been escorted to Pearl's airport by my grand aunt. I boarded a BWI plane for the short flight to Trinidad, where I was to embark on to the Spanish passenger line of Begonia that would have taken me to England. After an eventful trip, I landed at Southampton after nearly 15 days on board ship. My mother and elder brothers were there at this port to greet me and take me back to London. The unease began to build up within me as my brother drove his mini car through the roads of the southeast. Looking through the window of the car, I was totally unimpressed by the drab terrace houses and the topography of the area they were built on. Things did not seem any better as we got to London, and the weather did not help whatsoever. As I felt suffocated with the great crowds looming large above, slowly we approached Camberwell and my mother's house. The shock of it was immediate, and to this day I still feel repulsed by the place. The large terrace housing, of which my mother's house was part of, simply terrified me. I was never used to anything remotely resembling this sort of architecture in the Caribbean, and the severity of it made me explode, and with my demanding to return to Grenada immediately. How could I live in such a prison-like area? As I pleaded with my mother, but she just seemed to have the right words and attitude to calm me down. Oh, you will get used to it slowly. Don't let it bother you too much, she mused. Wiping away the tears from my eyes, I quickly returned to pragmatic mode and realized the gravity of my situation. I mentally adjusted myself to just getting on with things and face up to whatever I was to encounter ahead of me. Whenever one is cornered in what seems to be an impossible situation, one's focus is sharply on survival. However hard the difficulties, one has to find a way to overcome them. So I had to put aside what was troubling me and be as practical as I possibly could have. I got into work and saved as much money as I could before getting back into my studies. But the difficulties just piled up as my mother and I quarreled over several issues, particularly my upkeep. Things got progressively worse for me and my studies were affected. I just could not concentrate. Eventually, I had to give up after suffering a breakdown. The depression was intense then, along with the other ailments like agoraphobia and panic spells that I suffered. But after hospitalization and treatment, I recovered sufficiently to get back into work. Giving up studies was a wrench for me, but I had no choice. I had to support myself, realizing that my mother was unable to. I hit the road and went from job to job,
lunch, or low pay. But as long as I was employed and able to carry on, that was of great import. Then fate took me into an area I had never seen before, or of which I had any knowledge. It totally contrasted with the Camberwell area I so detested. In fact, it was a very attractive area, and I was so pleased to have discovered it. And lo and behold, after responding to a newspaper advert for a job, I ended up working in the very same area I felt was so attractive. Highgate, that area, lifted my spirits. And even though the work was a drudge, I did not mind so much. But just being in the area on a daily basis certainly helped enormously. I worked there for 10 years, and it was the best experience that I enjoyed while I was there since my first day in London. I regularly revisit Highgate just to have a walk around the streets there or on a social level. The pubs there are fine and welcoming, and it's always a pleasure to have a drink in them. I often wonder about the turns and twists that life throws up and how one's life can be influenced by people or areas that one lives in. Life can be so mysterious that at times it's very difficult to put one's finger on exactly what motivates change in one psyche.
I saw my parents crying, my insides turned cold. I was really trying, but my tears just rolled. It was hard to see, too much to bear. We had to leave, my heart filled with fear. I had to pack my bags, my soul was short. Out of all the lands, I would choose that one. I'm going to miss it, feeling the breeze on my face. I'll be gone, and I'm scared my memories will start to fade. I can feel the tide at my feet. I'm starting to get more worried. What if the people there don't like us? We are almost there. I hope it's not going to be long. My parents won't talk to me. Did I do something wrong? I'm walking off now. My heart is pumping. I can feel eyes on me. I can sense people judging.
From Brain Productions. I'd feel quite sad and gloomy that I'd have to leave my family and friends. I would have to not get mad or get a stern talking to. When I arrived at London, everything changed. The weather was dark and stormy, but no one was selling stuff on the street. They had shops, not supermarkets, and instead of £20, they had $20. The smell was very different, and the clothing and shoes were not identical to the clothing and shoes at Jamaica. The cars were different, and signs said no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. It was very hard to find houses for the Irish and for the Jamaicans. It must have been so sad that people were compared to dogs. Just because you are different doesn't mean you have to be treated different. Like, everybody's story is important, because if you listen to people's stories, you can learn something from them.
Everybody's story is important, so that's why you should listen.
Everybody's story is important, so you know what they go through to be what they are right now.
Everybody's story is important, so if you don't listen to them, then you won't know what they go through.
Everybody's story is important, because if you don't listen, you'll never know what they had to go through.
Everybody's story is important because we all have the same amount of value in this world.
Life was hard in the 50s when we come from abroad. Treated same as the Irish, cat de dog, oh my lord. Came here for a better life, struggled but we still strived. Misunderstood by all the whites, so we gave ourselves high fives. Took all the jobs the whitey didn't want, then hated and berated cause we make a few bob. But we stuck at it, the first few years I'm told were traumatic. But our autopilot kept us level-headed and optimistic. Second generation skanked the nation, till death do us part where they mixed blessings. Rich pickings were their motivation, carnival lickings kept them vibrating. See, divide and rule wasn't shown to us at school, so you learnt on the streets that your rep was your speech. But what comes around goes way back around, I guess. Now here in Little England, it's Eastern Europeans we cuss. Where will it stop, we say, but we haven't learnt a lot. For we years ago were them very same people who flocked. So isn't that calling the kettle the pot? So just look back when judging. We're all lacking our father's givings. And if we understand this, maybe, just maybe, we'll understand that a one size cap fits all, no matter where you come from.
We are the year 5 class in Friars.
Because I'm not trying to say everything about race, but probably people where they were more darker skin colour. So going somewhere where everyone's like a different skin colour, you're used to seeing people more like you. Mm-hmm. And especially seeing signs saying things like no blacks, no dogs and no Irish.
Feel about yourself?
Probably ashamed because we thought, like, they would have thought that, like, in England they would have been nice because they thought that it was, like, their home. Probably, because otherwise, then, basically, say if you were evacuated, then where would you go if you weren't allowed to go around freely?
What? You have to go where?
Like, wherever they make you.
Do you think London would be the same? Because I'm guessing we're in, you know, you both live in South London. Do you think South London would be the same if no one had ever travelled to this country from another country?
No.
Why not?
Because then we wouldn't have all those people to help rebuild.
What else? Think about London, South London. When you step out onto the streets of London, do you see one type of person everywhere?
No.
Or what do you see?
A bunch of different people who are all different.
And what does that bring?
Culture.
The United Kingdom. I think they still own some countries. They used to own South America, I think. No, it was North America.
Yes, did you know what? That's great knowledge, yes.
And with the help of George Washington, they dumped all their tea in the ocean, which made them really sad, so they went back to Britain.
considering what I'm saying to you, people thought this was their second home. Do you think it was a shock for people when you first arrived here?
Yes, because all of, like, people weren't selling stuff on the road. Their cars were different. They were putting up signs, no Irish, no dogs, no blacks.
What does that mean?
They were being racist to the Irish and black people.
And they didn't like dogs.
Yeah, because they wanted not... When they tried to rent out rooms, they had to. They didn't want animals coming in, so they didn't let, like, dogs, animals, nothing.
I'd feel really sad. Because an animal that most likely needs guidance is getting compared to you saying, like, slowly, silently saying to the person that you're comparing it to you, like, you're stupid.
They're acting like you have, like, a little brain. Just because you're a different colour doesn't mean that you're meant to be treated different. Or whatever race you are doesn't mean you have to be treated different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're Asian, you don't have to be treated different.
Because if you want to explore the world, then you can be our guest.
It doesn't have to be that expensive just to go to one place and come back for, like, 2 weeks or something.
It gives people a whole new experience.
Gives them, like, a whole new world of experiences and, like, different places.
Why?
Like, say if I was from Jamaica and I went to China, they have different culture, so I'd have to understand the culture, understand all of the food.
Why is it important, Waze, for different cultures to understand each other?
So they don't, like, be rude to their race and...
And don't make fun of each other, because say if someone that's Asian likes sushi, but you are an American and you don't like sushi, you shouldn't make fun of that person just because they eat a different food to you.
You should just be like, all right, I'm going to just try the diet, their culture. Cause you might, just because it doesn't look nice doesn't mean that it isn't nice.
Well, my mum was definitely sad. She didn't want to leave her home country. And my grandma was the same thing. But my great-grandma, I'm not sure about her. I don't know if she wanted to leave or not.
So how old was your mum when she came over here?
She was like 14.
14, wow. How old are you now?
10.
10, so 4 years older than you are now.
Mm-hmm.
And she completely made a massive journey. Have you ever thought about what she might have gone through when she first arrived here? Have you heard any stories about what life was like?
But I guarantee it was probably hard for her, I guess, because, I mean, there was probably a lot of racist people there. And, yeah, for my grandma as well.
And they saw these signs that said, no dogs, no blacks, no Irish.
They felt fuming and just disappointed because, I mean, it should be like a free country. It should be any race, any religion, any type of people that like, they could go anywhere that they can afford.
So do you think that's important that people are allowed to travel freely around the world?
Yes.
Why do you think it's important?
Because, yeah, if they couldn't travel around the world freely, they could go so many places that they're not allowed to go, and they would get killed for doing it, or just get in trouble for doing something that they could do if they wanted to. We're very, very lucky to have all this food, because in the olden days, people can even have these food. So it should be good that we could have this food now then, because we couldn't have before.
Absolutely. And
who's around you? Well, if I had to leave all my friends and family and I had to go by myself, I would miss my family mostly and my friends, because without them I feel like I'm nothing, or completely just nothing. So they must have felt very, very, very sad, because I mean, your family looks after you, your family cheers you up, your friends can cheer you up as well. But without them, you can't do much without them. Because they can feed you, can do much for you. So because without them you can do much, but it might not feel the same.
Amazing.
Blake Griffin.
Everybody's story is important because if you listen to people's stories, you can learn something from them.
Everybody's story is important, so that's why you should listen.
Everybody's story is important so you know what they go through to be what they are right now.
Everybody's story is important, so if you don't listen to them, then you won't know what they go through.
Everybody's story is important because if you don't listen, you'll never know what they had to go through.
Story is important because we all have the same amount of value in this world.
Everybody's story is important, and this is why it's important that we collect these stories so that they're not forgotten. Before we can look into the future, it's important that we're able to look at the past so that we can better understand who we are from and what has gone before us.
Thank you for listening.